In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Most dear faithful, as we ponder today the beauty of the Holy Family, a question comes to mind that I share with you this morning, and I ask you to ponder about what part of human society might you imagine receives the most attention from Satan? Well, I would propose that there's probably no other institution of human life under greater attack by the forces of darkness than the family. The church is perennially taught that a man and a woman united in marriage together with their children form a family. For us, that's a given. We frequently refer to that as the nuclear family. But it's truly the original cell of social life. A family is a divine institution. It was conceived in the mind of God as the foundation piece, the very glue that holds human society together. It's divinely constructed rather than being a product of some earthly social engineering. Our beloved Benedict XVI declared, "The human family is, in a certain sense, the icon of the Trinity because of the love between its members and the fruitfulness of that love. The family is the patrimony of humanity. It is the vital cell and pillar of society." We understand that the elements of the Trinity are unchangeable, and the bonds holding the communion of persons together are unbreakable. Therefore, the same must be true for the family. The family is then, by divine definition, meant to be holy. We also can intuit that Satan despises all things holy. To achieve its evil end, the true family must be destroyed. And in place of that which is ordained by God to be holy and fruitful, then we see in our own day that any and every sterile alternative is proposed as a new order of things. Venerable Sister Lucia of Fatima warned Cardinal Caffara in 1983. She said, "A time will come when the decisive battle between the kingdom of Christ and Satan will be over marriage and the family. And those who will work for the good of the family will experience persecution and tribulation." The battle for the preservation of the true family is a battle for the very survival of humanity. The godless, barren, dysfunctional imitations of the family that are rampant in our day are incapable of supporting the necessary weight of an ordered society. Chaos in the family leads to chaos in the streets. A return to a Christocentric, a Christ-centered human social order has the power to stabilize the moral climate and repropose immutable truths, especially those of marriage and the family. But not just for good, but for true salvation of a society, our society, which appears most ways to be near, at times, the point of death. Holy Scripture is abundantly clear. A choice must be made. Many of us know Joshua 24:15. "Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Each family will be required to confront the assaulters attempting to cross the sacred threshold of our homes. We can either choose to surrender as to the night or to fight in the light of truth. And the battle will not be won with hatred and violence, but it will be won with holiness. Satan absolutely cannot withstand the power of virtue, the power of godliness. The best defense against the power of darkness, always truly hell-bent on destroying the divine institution of the nuclear family, has nothing to do with locks on our door or better security systems in our homes. The greatest and most effective defense of the family that frightens Satan itself is holiness. Holiness of family life. Evil has no defense for a state of being that is the direct opposite, the antithesis of its depraved and morally corrupt condition. So it's very understandable then that the very concept of holiness must also be deconstructed and condemned by the minions of evil. They cannot understand it, but they truly still fear holiness because they know it has the power to destroy them. The call to holiness cannot be answered by any soul, much less by any family, that has no idea what it is to be holy. But the traditional, immutable moral backbone of the church, its moral theology, is a reflection of the mind of God and not so much the reflection of the mind of man. It is this that will be the wellspring of truth from which we may drink freely. The universal call to Christian holiness is an exhortation to love as God loves, remembering that first of all, we must allow God to pour love into us so that we may be able to reflect Him as truth in love to others. Apart from that, we will always be struggling to self-generate some facsimile of divine love. And it will find its best and yet incredibly vague and insufficient expression in mantras that we see in yards everywhere. Be kind. Be nice. And in and of themselves, it's not bad. But what the world desperately needs is a universal call to be holy. The perfection of love, Christian perfection, is integral to the health and stability of human society, which itself is dependent on the essential building block of society, the nuclear family. The pursuit of holiness, Christian perfection, in defense of the family, is the first and best line of defense against the breakdown and what we see today is the re-engineering of human society into some new order of things that none of us want. The path of holiness and the road to Christian perfection are not two separate ways of going toward God, but represent a common thoroughfare with a common destination. Our desire for holiness, individually and as a family, we can find structure and direction in the perennial teachings of the church on the imitation of Christ as the key to Christian perfection. The Catholic family is not automatically a holy family. The desire for holiness must include the will, the desire to learn and understand the moral requirements of God, because these were wisely and lovingly imposed on humanity. The family seeking holiness must go beyond the notion of merely following a set of rules. Catholic morality is not a burdensome, restrictive code to be endured with clenched teeth and white knuckles. No, it's a prescription for true freedom and happiness in this life. It's a recipe for our eternal good. moral living, holy living is a way of being. It's just not a way of acting. It's a steady internal disposition toward the good, toward God. St. Gregory of Nyssa, all the way back in the 4th century, said, the goal of a virtuous life is to become like God. St. Teresa of Jesus, writing about those who desire to pursue the path of holiness, she says it is most important, all important indeed, that they should begin well by making an earnest and most determined resolve not to halt until they reach their goal. But our mortal desire for sanctity, especially if it's in the absence of divine assistance, is insufficient means to the desired end. We cannot compete well, much less reach our goal, in the absence of grace. In other words, our natural capacity for goodness, our ability to be kind and to be nice, is just not enough. We must receive supernatural assistance, the assistance of divine grace. St. Augustine is clear. He says, nothing whatsoever pertaining to godliness and real holiness can be accomplished without grace. Ultimately, though, the road to Christian perfection, the road to holiness, is still very open to all of us, to every family that wills, desires, wants to follow Jesus, and wills to imitate him in every aspect of family life. St. Francis de Sales assures us, all of us can attain to Christian virtue and holiness, no matter in what condition of life we live, and no matter what our life work may be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.